Bronze Ladle Studios. Here's in Shane and the Membrane.
Hello and welcome
to your mama's house.
We're not even 2 seconds in and you're already screwing up the episode.
We're bringing it.
Can I do it again and you shut up? Can I trust you? I appreciate the honesty. I'll go for it anyway. Hello and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson. And with me, as always, is the Roslyn to my Jimmy, Ken H. I
have to think about that. Oh, Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my gosh. Roslyn, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I
had Hello.
To think about it.
It's a big deal, Ken. The flags were at half mast because a former first lady died.
I think flags are just always at half mast.
It feels that way. Yeah. It feels that way. I look at him. I'm like, I don't know. School shooting. A senator died.
Yeah.
I don't know. You name it, man.
Yeah.
There's a reason for the half mast. I heard about Roslyn Carter dying, and my first thought was, Roslyn Carter's alive?
I knew she right? was alive.
I didn't know that. And then my second thought was, wait, Jimmy Carter's still alive?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Not looking
In fact,
great.
I was watching, I think it was Sunday. Yes, it was Sunday, because I was watching the foosball on the TVs. The Red Zone Network, I love it. And there's a guy on there, he's the same MC that's always on there, and he actually said the wife of the late Jimmy Carter. And I'm like, okay, Jimmy Carter's dead. And then his producers came on, and like 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, wait, he's not dead.
No, he's not.
Okay, got it. Now, I thought about this. They were married for 77 years. 77 years, Ken.
Me love you long time.
I don't know that I can stand myself for 77 years, much less someone else. You know what I'm saying? So kudos to them. Very impressive.
Yeah.
I thought about it. I'm like, man, they lived a long time. And I'm like, you know what? I guarantee, okay, the ex-president and ex-first lady, they're on probably like one of the gold healthcare plans from the marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know plastic. I'm not even on bronze, okay?
No.
I look at bronze fans, I'm like, no, that's too, I need to sort low to high, and low starts at plastic, okay? And plastic means you have a deductible of like $100,000, and then the most it'll pay is like $101,000. So just that 1,000 between 100 and 101,
yeah,
they're going to cover me on that.
I'm on a similar.
That's it.
So Blue Cross Blue Shield uses the trash bag
plans. Okay.
And so I've never heard that. I'm on the bathroom trash bag. You know, it's like it's the same as the shopping bag from Target.
Okay.
Basically that
okay.
size.
Okay. But
so not even tall kitchen.
Seriously, what kind of health care plan is the ex president and ex first lady on? Right? Like
it's just everything's
covered. They ain't on no high deductible plan. I guarantee that. I guarantee it. They also aren't on regular Medicare. There's no way
they're on regular Medicare.
Okay, they
no
got a
way.
Team of fancy doctors.
Yes,
that are probably looking after them, and hence they live a long time. You know, that's the reason to become president is because of everything after, right? Number one, you make a killing in the lecture circuit. People pay you $50,000 a pop to come in and say your name in a funny joke. That's a great life, and then you get a gold plan for the rest of your life, healthcare plan. I bet they have dental and vision. You know what I'm saying? I don't have dental and vision.
I can't
afford that.
I think if the senators and House of Representatives president had to be on the same plans you and I were on, they would view the world differently.
I bet they would.
100%.
They need to go get their plans through the marketplace like me and then see what's up. You go through the marketplace too?
I have a full-time job.
Well, not all full-time employers offer employer-sponsored healthcare plans, Ken.
No, but mine does.
Okay, good for you. Then you wouldn't understand.
It's not good.
You wouldn't understand. Wouldn't understand.
I do understand. It's like a $5 million deductible.
It's a big deductible.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. Whatever. I'm not complaining.
Yes, I am.
I'm complaining. So I want to give a big, fat, I'm sorry to all of our listeners, okay? You know before when I called you Roslyn? I'm going to tell you why. You ready?
Yeah.
Jimmy's like the face. He is the PR guy. He's out in front, right? But Roslyn, she's calling the shots, right? She's running the show from the back, right? That's you. I'm the face. I'm the pretty face.
Mm-hmm. With the dirty shirt.
And I know it's a work day. It was a work day for me. Work as in physical work, not work as in
not mental
white
work.
Collar. No, not mental. Well, some mental, but not much mental. Mm-hmm. But you are the back. So I'm not going to roll you on the bus on this, okay? But our last episode.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It had some problems, some technical problems with our last episode. And once again, I'm not blaming you. We are trying a new software that a lot of big-time podcasters use.
Yeah, I think there's a conspiracy, too.
Ooh, let me hear it.
You want to know the God's honest truth? Not exaggerated.
You know I do. And if there's a conspiracy theory,
so
you know I want to hear it.
We recorded, and I go back home, look through it.
Okay.
It pulls up a transcript. I look for any glaring errors.
Okay.
And then you basically process a final copy.
Okay.
Then you send that final copy to Spotify, which runs Riverside.
Okay. Okay. So you like publish it.
Publish it. Yes.
Yeah,
that's the word.
Essentially. But it's just uploading.
So when I finish the final draft.
Okay.
They ask you, it does this periodically. Are you happy with Riverside?
Ooh. Okay.
What did I say?
You said yes.
No, I always say, I always actually don't answer. I just close it.
Oh.
I answered this time.
Yes.
And I said no.
Oh, nice.
Because I said the audio is not matching up with the video.
That's right.
I
remember you
telling
me that now.
But even then, the audio was fine. I checked it. The audio was fine.
Right. Okay.
So I send that in. I'm like, no, I'm not happy with this. I said it's not matching up, especially when we're recording. Because Amy's episode, the mouthing was off with the verbiage. What you're hearing and seeing are two different things.
Yes.
And so I complain.
Okay.
And I get an email the next day.
Okay. Next day. Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Kenneth, sorry for your experience. We went in and tried to match things up. We can't do it. Why don't you try this and this? And they're like basically telling me to get a new computer and close out apps.
No.
And I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with the computer.
No. No.
I mean, this is a year and a half old
Mac.
Yeah. I'm no, like, no, it ain't, no. The, that ain't
hey,
the
like
problem.
Granford or whatever.
Hey, that ain't the problem.
No. No.
So I was pretty disappointed. And then the published one, it's way off, apparently.
Yeah, it's bad.
And it's so bad. I'm like, that's not what I published. So I think they jacked around with it.
We published it, and I like many of our listeners, I went in Wednesday morning, and I was like, sweet, I get to listen. Because I haven't listened to it
I even just checked it before we started recording again, and I fast-forwarded to multiple spots.
Okay.
And the audio still sounds fine, so I still don't know what.
I don't know.
Because I immediately went in, and I pulled it off by 11 o'clock
there
that
was,
morning, noon. I pulled it down.
It was me remote and you remote at your house. And it had to do something with, hopefully, that's it, and it's not going to do it on this episode, but I guess we'll see. I listened to it Wednesday morning. I didn't even make it all the way through. I didn't.
Right.
Because, A, there was an echo.
Yeah.
B, it was like 5 seconds off. It's not like 2 seconds off, like a satellite delay. It's like 5 seconds.
I think the echo was on your end. We can fix that. That's probably our fault.
Okay.
That's user error.
May have been my headphones. I don't know.
You were using Bluetooth AirPods. We're learning that lesson. So, again, I don't even know if it was their fault.
I don't know.
It sucked. Though.
I'm not. Listen. Now, I did tell you, if it happens again, you're fired.
I would fire me.
Yeah. But then I said, will you still be my friend? And what'd you say?
Yes.
And I said, will you always be my friend no matter what?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I would.
Fist bump me.
I'd come visit you in prison.
Oh, thanks, Ken. Hey, ditto. Ditto to you, buddy. No matter what, okay? You got that going for you. So you got that going for me, eh?
Yeah.
On your deathbed, I'll be there.
Okay, I like your segue.
You
segued and didn't even know it.
That's how good I am.
So
that's how good Jimmy Carter was. Everybody knows he's maybe the greatest president of all time, right?
No.
We were too young. For the record, he was 76 to 80.
Yeah, but it was in our lifetime.
Yeah, but
people
complained. Okay, I was 3 years old when he came in the office, and I was 7 when he left. I don't remember. Yeah. I really don't remember. I mean, I remember seeing him on TV maybe once or twice, but I don't remember. And I know everybody hates on him, but
people waiting
I guess
in
he
line
was.
For gasoline.
Whatever.
You know, about 2 gallons.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Segue.
So I watched a documentary yesterday.
I was going to say something else. I wasn't done, but go ahead.
I watched a documentary last night.
Okay, I'll come back
guess,
to it.
Guess what it was?
The 80s. Jimmy Carter.
John Belushi.
John Belushi.
Which
sad
he,
story.
Which he had a group he was a part of called the Lemmings, National Lampoon's
yes.
group, radio show.
Okay.
Harold Ramis from
Ghostbusters
and stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The guy who... I forgot the other guy. He kind of looks like Harold Ramis, who wrote Ghostbusters, I think. Dan Aykroyd was kind of loosely part of that group. Bill Murray, who you were impersonating,
yes.
and
yes.
his brother,
yes.
Doyle something Murray.
Okay.
Who plays the caddy, he's the caddy director in
oh,
the movie.
Oh, right.
That's Bill
right.
Murray's brother.
That's right. I remember that
So
now.
They were
yeah.
all part of that group with
he's
John
also
Belushi.
It just hit me. He's also the mayor in Groundhog Day, which Bill Murray is also in.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know the movie, obviously,
wow.
but I don't remember
He's
him.
Much older, and he looks very different.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's older brother,
That's
I think.
Interesting.
But they were
kind of like
part
the Howards, you know, yeah. where the brother is just kind of a tag-along, riding
oh,
his
yeah,
coattails
yeah.
in
he's
movies.
He's in every single movie that Ron Howard makes.
I know.
And he looks
sad.
I was about to say something pretty bad.
Sad. Don't do it.
He looks like something's not right. How about that?
Fine. Moving on.
You know, he was in his own TV show, too, Ron Howard's brother. When he was young, he was in a TV
really?
Show with the bear.
No idea. What
What's
going
his
deep?
Name?
I don't know. How would I know that?
I'm going to look this up before the episode's over.
You can look it up. I can go back to what I was saying, if you don't mind, before you rudely
but the,
interrupted me.
You need to... The movie was pretty good.
John Belushi's
life.
Yes, documentary.
Very talented.
I know
guy.
How it ends. It's very sad.
Yeah.
You tell that black magic mother, I don't do no cocaine no more. He doesn't do cocaine anymore because he died of it.
I think it was heroin, though.
Was it? Well, he had done a lot of coke, too. He was on
Everybody
all kinds
did.
Of stuff.
Oh, Chevy Chase was a part of that group?
Yes.
I mean, and.
Yes. Yeah, it was that Saturday Night Live group.
And really, John Belushi was more popular going into Saturday Night Live, but Lorne Michaels really did not like John Belushi.
Really?
So he gave most of the stuff to Chevy Chase, and Chevy Chase became the darling.
He took off.
The breakout
yeah.
star, and then quit after year one. But then John Belushi really found his footing. Okay, I'm going to look this. You finish your story while I look up.
I love documentaries, so I'll definitely watch it, no doubt. I just saw one on Barry Sanders. The one on
Clint Howard. Yeah, I watched that too.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Really enjoyed
it. I liked it.
So they dropped the episode Wednesday morning, started listening to it. I made like 40 minutes through, and I'm like, I can't do this because the delay was just so bad. It was just terrible. I couldn't focus on what we were saying because I was just so caught up in the delay and the struggle to comprehend
it. Yeah, it drives you crazy.
And then immediately, Philip O., he's one of the first ones always to tell me there's a problem. He's like, oh, the problem with the podcast. That's literally, I could tell you that's what his text sounded like. Oh, the problem with the podcast. I know, Philip. Okay? You don't have to tell me.
Shout out.
I know. And then, of course, you know who was next? Our intern.
Scott J.
General Ben.
He starred with a bear, a real live bear.
And this is a show.
I remember that show
wow.
as a kid.
I don't. Because we had cable television, so we didn't have to watch crap like that.
1967 to 69, so obviously it was reruns
yeah,
when I watched
clearly.
It.
Clearly, yeah, on a UHF channel that you got for free. I was watching HBO. Don't worry about it. So, then immediately Scott Jay has to chime in, and he's like, oh, I may pull my sponsorship or whatever.
Oh, he did not say that.
No, I don't know that he said that verbatim, to be fair. Look, I got your cup and your shirts, Scott. No matter what, you can't take them away. I got them locked up in here. Good luck, buddy.
My shirt didn't fit.
So. I do feel bad. Now, Amy S., kudos to her. She powered right through it. She left me notes about it. She didn't say a word about the problems. Amy, you're my new favorite listener. Shout out to Amy S. But here's the thing. I feel pretty terrible about it. Ken does too, right? Shake your head.
Bad.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. Okay. It's unprecedented, Ken. We've never done it before. Triple your money back. Okay. All your subscription fees this month, I'm going to refund them and I'm going to quadruple. I'm going to give you eight times back what you paid. You're welcome. Check your mail. It's going to be in the mail. It's going to be a check in the mail. What do you think? I didn't run this by you. Are you okay with this?
I think you can even Venmo them. No checks.
No. This is a mail scam. Ken, do you understand how mail scams work?
I did in 1987.
They don't work via Venmo. So anyway, watch for your mail. I'm going to make it up to you with... Count it eight times your subscription fees this month back to you in the mail. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? You don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
No.
You've heard that saying, right?
Hmm.
Have you ever received a gift horse?
No, nobody's given me a horse.
Who's giving out horses? Who's giving out horses? And who's getting them enough to say that to then catch on with everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of town is that where they're just giving out horses?
I assume it came from Bulgaria or wherever, where I had a pony. Everyone had a pony, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're poor and you're giving out ponies left and right, then yeah, I could see that. You're like, well, it's a free pony, and everyone has a pony, so it's common. And you'd be like, well, don't look it in the mouth because it's got a couple cavities. So don't worry about that. It doesn't have a dental plan either, and it just has a plastic, the plastic healthcare plan. So, but it's free.
Seinfeld.
It's a free pony.
Was that Jerry's aunt? Whose aunt was it?
No, I think it was his great aunt, actually. Yeah. I think it was like his mom's aunt, something like that. I had a pony. Yeah. He's like, in fact, I hated everyone that had a pony. Who figures an immigrant's going to have a pony? It's a fair point. It's a fair point. He's like, who leaves a place with ponies?
Yes.
And everyone has a pony to come here.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm with him. Totally understand. So I feel bad. We're going to take steps to correct this. And Ken is going to do better. I'm going to do better. We're going to do better.
I don't know if we are.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I keep looking up there at the monitor, but it's down there. I can't do this.
Philip, Scott.
You want to see what Amy said? No, Amy's good. Don't say
Jason.
Amy. Don't say Amy like that. Jason didn't even say anything. He's so disappointed. Don't say Amy like that. I'll tell you what
Jason said. Barely hanging on. He's strung out in some hotel room.
What does that mean?
In Phoenix. He can't take it anymore.
That might be true. She said, yes, because some people are just psycho. I asked her a specific question. That's why she answered it.
Okay.
And then she said, though I do agree a flat 6% is not necessary. I think that it was about realtors.
Oh, yeah.
I think that houses sold for around $70,000, but as prices go up, it's too much. She's saying that 6% isn't enough. That's what she was basically saying. But she didn't even comment on how terrible the audio was. So kudos to her.
She powered through.
Yeah. She's one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, how are you?
In chain.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. That's a good answer. Remember? That's an appropriate answer.
Been very busy.
That just did a thumbs up or something. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What was that?
I saw that a minute ago, too. So
I don't know what's going on. You think the Riverside people are listening to us because you complained?
I think they're no. They
are we streaming?
I think
this
they're
live?
Trying to no. I think they're trying to. So, like, if you were recording in one spot and I'm recording the other, it's saying we can do that now because I know they were trying to push that. I think they need to get their crap straight of what they already do before they add.
They
something.
Really do. They really do.
So,
Riverside.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I've been doing this week?
Yes.
What have I been doing?
You met with the gutter guy.
That's true.
You are trying to clear out space in your shop, your shed.
That's true. I don't have a shed. I have a shop,
and
but I don't have a shed.
I've been there. It's pretty crapped out.
No, it's getting better. Calm down. It's getting better. Keep going.
So I saw it Friday.
I've cleaned it out some.
You're trying to change a tire. You were.
Yeah. I bought these two tires from this Yahoo on Facebook. And
mistake.
I didn't even look at them because it's only $30 for two tires, you know. And he's like, oh, they're good tires, whatever. Mm-hmm. I get home. There's a nail in one of them. It's literally a nail sticking in one of them. I'm like, I'm going to get rid of them. It's a $30 mistake.
I'd take it back. You know where the guy lives?
No, that's why he met me at OnQ, because he's like, I don't want you to bring these tires back. They didn't even have much credit. It was a $30 lesson. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it.
I'm a little mad.
At him or me?
No, I expect that out of you. So.
Now I'm mad.
I think you ought to create a rendezvous, and I'm going to go with you.
No, I'm not going to do it. He's a young kid. He seemed pretty nice. But there was water in the tires, and so I didn't. And I was just loading them up in my car. I didn't really inspect them.
So
it's $30, you know. But it was my fault.
I'm not going to talk about Jeff's story. Shout out.
Which one?
You'll know when I start talking.
Okay.
But I do bring a weapon when I've met people.
Oh, now I know.
I've met people.
You're an idiot.
But I carry a knife, or I bring my...
It's like a thought bubble.
Yeah.
And then, what if that's on the video? I don't know. Just imagine. Thought bubble. Boom.
So I try to bring one of my children who are grown.
Okay.
And
Speaking of, I
leave a knife in the car, or if I'm by myself, I put a big knife in my back pocket. You never know if I may be abducted and then have to use that knife to cut the...
You're going
to
be abducted.
Ken, the zip ties.
I'm gonna
break loose.
I'm gonna drop something on you. It may hurt.
Bald, fat, white men don't get abducted very often. Yeah, I know.
You already know.
I already know that. Yes,
it does not happen.
I keep dreaming.
No, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it. Think of all those young, attractive women that are always worried, like they're walking alone at night. That's gotta suck, right? Thinking, man. You know, people are after me.
Anywhere in the country,
you
pretty
can
much.
Walk anywhere, and you're
anywhere,
like
anywhere, anytime.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Yeah.
Some guy comes up to you. Oh, sorry. No. Uh-huh. Are you sure? No, man. not what I was looking for, bro. I'm sorry. I'm into pregnant women, and I thought that's what in the silhouette.
That's what I looked like. Nice.
I retract that statement. Okay, I'm sorry. Are you still my friend? Give me a fist bump.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I've been doing all this thing, but you're
cleaning out your shed.
I'm leading you to water, and you're just not drinking. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know what else you've
been
doing.
What all these things have in common? Kind of the overarching theme of what's been going on in my life.
Moving into your house.
There you go.
But you've already done that, so that's
no,
that's over.
No. You don't move in your house one day, and then you're in the house and you're living in the
Miranda's
house.
Miranda's pretty good.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then my crap, she's just on me for like weeks to get rid of my crap or to organize my crap. And I'm like, I got it in the house. What do you want? It's out of the old house. It's in
but
the new house.
But in defense of you, you have your own crap, then you have the shared crap. Like there's things you have that she benefits from, but she's not going to admit it.
Yeah.
Like if you have a tool chest, go clean that up.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a roll of rope.
Yeah.
You never know when she's going to need you to use that rope for her benefit.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I don't want to take it any further. No, well, here's what it boils down to. If she can see it, it has to be cleaned up.
The box of rotors for the car. A car. We don't know what car
it
does on.
Yeah, that's true. I don't.
But you do need to stop. So
you do need to stop. So what I've slowly but surely I've put all the crap in the shop.
Yes.
So it's out of her sight.
Now you got to sort. It was just moving crap from point A to point B.
I kid you not. She has not stepped one foot into the shop.
Doesn't even want to see what it looks like?
Nope. I swear to you, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I've never seen her in the
this
shop.
This is. Oh, I can use this.
I got Wi-Fi out in the shop now, so I could stay out there forever. Shoot, I don't know. I need to get my bathroom set up.
I think we need a disco ball.
Funny story, Ryan B. has a disco ball in his little shop.
Wow.
I know, because I don't know. So, all right.
Shout out.
Okay. Yes, I just sold my home, finished my new home. I'm moving into the new home. It's still a process. And in that process, number one is there's a loan. I got to flip it into another loan and do some things there. And I paid off one loan and moving money around. So that's going pretty well. It's no big deal. Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about everybody's favorite topic, insurance.
Nice.
Yeah. People, it's like insurance.
That's so terrible. Is this the topic you weren't going to tell me what we were going to talk about?
That's exactly right.
So we're not, just for clarity.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the lost episode. We talked about real estate, so we're skipping that.
Yeah.
Okay, move on.
Yeah. So here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's not boring insurance, because it's not exactly about insurance. You'll see. You know some of these details already, but I have been with the same insurance company for 25 years.
Oh boy, I know where this is going.
26 years. Not kidding you. 26 years. Yeah. When we bought our first home, most insurance companies weren't going to insure the house because it needed a new roof. But I'm like, well, I gotta buy the house to put a new roof on it. And this guy, he's an older gentleman. I actually went to school with his niece. He's like, hey, we'll cover it. And as long as contingent upon you getting a new roof within the first few weeks or whatever, and we did, and it worked great. And they were fine, and I liked him. But he was older. I mean, when I say older, I mean he was, you know, getting close to retirement age, certainly. And so a few years down the road, not many, you know, maybe 3 to 5, he'd retired. And the way they do it, and also this is how it works in the financial industry. If you have like a particular agent or representative, like in my case, I have clients and I am their financial planner. And if I retire someday or just quit the business or whatever, they're still kind of mine. This is similar to your business too. We don't necessarily have contracts, but there's a relationship there that they're used to. So, and you don't, and there's value there too, because, you know, continuing that relationship means money typically. So you don't necessarily just give them to someone else. Somebody buys them from you. They buy a book of business is what it's called. So it's very similar to your business. It works with a lot of other businesses that are based on relationships like that, right?
Fair enough.
Okay. So I'm sure that's what happened here. Liked him a lot, but he just probably sold his book of business to another agent. I don't know how it works when you work for a company like that, but sometimes you're a captive agent, and it means you can't take them somewhere else, but you may be able to sell them in-house, that type of thing. I don't know all the, and it doesn't matter. Point is, I was moved to this agent. Nobody said anything to me like, hey, you mind if we move to this new agent or anything? It was just like one day. So I've been with him for probably 20 years.
Wow.
You know, so I said 26, somewhere in there, 20 plus years. Yeah. I have not liked him from day one.
Oh.
Never liked him.
Truth is coming out.
He's pushy. He's arrogant. The bottom line is he's just a salesperson. He's not an advocate for me. He's certainly not a fiduciary. That's what I am. I'm a fiduciary, which means I have to put my clients' interests ahead of my own.
I've called you a fiduciary for a long time.
That's inappropriate.
Is it?
I don't think you've ever called me that to my face. You calling to me behind my face?
I've probably called you a douche before.
Maybe douche, but not douchiary. Okay. So, fiduciary means I have to put my client's interest in front of mine.
Yes.
It's not a legal, like, binding contract, but
it's a term that describes financial.
It's an ethical standard, which I am held to.
Money managers.
With my designation. Yes. I'll just stop at that because it gets boring beyond that. But basically, I'm required to do it. And I do. And that means a lot of people never pay me a dime because they don't get anything from me because I'm just like, you know, you don't need me, frankly. I'm not going to sell you something that you don't need. I'm going to give you advice. That's what you need. And my advice might be take your business somewhere else or just don't go with someone. Do your own thing or whatever. I've told people that. He would never tell someone that because he always knows what's best. And what's best is, you know, whatever insurance, you know, policies that he recommends or whatever the case is. And I don't like that. I don't like dealing with salespeople that are just trying to sell me something. I'm like, man, I could see right through it. You know, I just can. So haven't liked him day one. Now, there's three reasons why I've stayed with him. Want to guess what they are?
Money, cost.
Yeah, their rates are fairly low, and they've been very competitive. And occasionally, and I mean, every like 5 years, I'll shop around a little bit and find out that their rates are pretty competitive. So, yes, that's one reason. Number two.
Convenience.
I'll give you credit in that the convenience is I don't have to do anything to stay with them, right? So it's the path of least resistance. If I just stay with them, I don't have to do anything other than just keep paying my premiums and hopefully never deal with him. Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of one. It's more about I hate shopping for insurance, so
sure.
It's terrible. I bet most people hate it as well. So I'm like, I don't want to do that, so I'll suck it up and keep going down this road. Number three, I'll tell you. She's probably not going to guess it. And I don't want to continue going on. It's a pretty good company. The company behind him, they do what they say they're going to do. So they've been pretty good to me. Their rates are reasonable. They've been pretty good to me. But they make me go through him on almost everything. And I'm like, if you could just make me, if I could do everything just through a customer service department, I'd be much happier. I'd be thrilled. But I can't. So we recently.
You can't go to another agent in Oklahoma?
Okay. Yes and no. I tried. I reached out to this other guy. And he said, yeah, we can do that or whatever. I'll get back with you. And here there's a week later, and he ain't got back with me. And I'm like, no. I'd you know, if a client told me that, I'd know. Like, I better get to them within the day, you know, if I want them to actually be my client.
Sure.
So he didn't, and that's fine. So, now I'm going online looking for stuff or whatever. Now, more and more companies, here we are. We're in the digital age.
Yep.
These are not, and this is what frustrates me really about the insurance entire sector, is in so many ways it's an old school sector in that everything is kind of kept from you, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't really know the rates and the magic formula for how they come up with what premiums you pay and what changes amount to how much different your premiums are and that type of stuff. You don't know, right? It's just your agent tells you, hey, you need this and it costs this much, right? That's old school.
Oh, we're gonna run some numbers and get back with you.
Sometimes they do that, but more often than not, he's just on the computer and he's in there punching the numbers. And I'm like, I want to punch the numbers, you know? I don't, because here's the thing a lot of people don't understand. Every car has a different value associated with the car as far as liability goes. Some cars are safer than other cars. Some cars are less likely to get in an accident than other cars, you know? And so you can't just assume, oh, it's an older car, so I won't have to pay as much. You might pay even more. And those are things that I'd like to know.
Sure.
Because when you don't tell me anything and you just tell me what I need and how much to pay, I'm a dumb consumer. And let me tell you something. Our system, the system that we have established in the United States, capitalism, it does not work well with dumb consumers, okay? It works better if you are an educated consumer and you make educated decisions. This is the problem with healthcare. You know, Dave Ramsey talks about this quite a bit, and he's dead on in that we often don't know what stuff's going to cost. And you're like, if insurance pays for it, let's do it. If you were paying for it and you had to decide, hey, this costs $3,000, this costs $1,000, which one do you want to do? Okay, well, now I know there's a $2,000 difference there. That might help me make my decision. I may still go with the $3,000, but I need to know so I can make a more educated decision.
I'm with
so
you.
Same thing with insurance. And forever, that's the way it's been because you don't have the, all these resources online. So he's just like that. They don't have these tools online. So he just kind of tells me what to pay. And then every year, undoubtedly, my premiums skyrocket. And I got to call him and say, what the heck? And he's like, yeah, yeah, you know, stuff went up. Okay, well, thank you for stating the obvious there. Appreciate it, first base coach. But I'd like to know why and what can I do to get the premiums down. I don't enjoy paying another $1,000 a year for homeowners insurance. You probably guessed that, but you didn't call about it. You just assumed I was just going to suck it up and pay it. That's pretty crazy, you know.
And this guy's got you fired up because
he does.
You keep banging the table like Dwight in The Office.
I'm sorry.
And it keeps setting my screen off.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'll try not to.
You remember that?
I know. Yes, I remember. I remember. Yeah, see? You're messing that up too.
Uh-huh.
So I'll keep my hands down here.
I know you're fired up.
I know I am.
You, because, and for the record, over our friendship that's longer than you've been with that insurance company.
Yes.
I've heard about this guy a few times.
Yes, yes, because I dislike him. I'm not going to use the H word, but I dislike him considerably. He's just a bully, man. I, at the bottom line is he's a bully, and here's the funny part. So, so I finally, like, I've had enough.
Have you tried talking to him about it?
What am I going to say?
Dude, you're a little aggressive. Do you want me to stay with you? Then you need to chill out.
Why would I tell him that versus just getting rid of him and his agent?
Because you want to stay with, you see value in staying with the company.
But I don't like, he's had 20 years, Ken. I don't know. He is who he is. He's not going to be someone different.
Well, he may not know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he knows. So.
Then he's probably going to tell you, if you called him to quit or change, he's probably going to tell you off.
No, no, I don't have to call him directly. I can't call customer service. And I'll just tell them. I'll tell them the reason. I'm doing it tomorrow.
Nice. Are you excited?
Yeah, pretty excited. Pretty excited. So here's the funny part. You ready?
Hang yeah.
on. So I had to talk to him many, many months ago about getting a special construction policy because you can't get a homeowner's policy on
somebody
a home
burns the house down while you're building it.
Yeah, it needs to be covered, and, yeah. and so you have to get a special policy. It's like a builder's risk policy, basically.
Sure.
And they offered it, and I got it, and I'm like, I understand, you know, and I understand the limitations of it and all that, blah blah blah. But guess, here's the thing, Ken. Guess what? The house means nothing to him as far as an insurance. He is bound to cover the house as to whatever contract I have with them, right?
Right.
If I paid and I'm under contract, if I have a loan on the house that I owe someone else that they need X amount of coverage, that's none of his business. That's none of his business. That's their business and my business, not his business. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Play devil's advocate on the other side, though.
Okay,
why
sure.
would you want to know?
Why would I want to know? Who am I and why would I want to know what?
If you're him, why would you want to know what the loan's
easy,
for?
Easy, because then you could pressure me into increasing the coverage and paying more for
because
more
you're
going
to say if your loan is for X number of dollars,
that's
you need
right.
to be insured for that plus the content
that's
added
right.
on top.
That's
so
right.
we need
– That's right.
I'm just going to make up a number. We need a loan. You need an insurance policy for $500,000
sure.
when you may want one for $300,000.
Absolutely. That's right. That's exactly right. That's what he would do. He that's what he's really good at doing is always saying, well, you never know or you don't know. Or most of the time I'm like, dude, do what I tell you to do. That's another thing that frustrates the fire. I mean, I'm like, you know what I am. I am a CFP. I am a certified financial planner. You know, you're not a CFP. You pretend to be, but you're not. You know what's involved in getting that designation. So, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I actually have an insurance license.
Sure.
I hate insurance and I do not sell it. But I have to carry certain lines of financial
right.
products with me. I hate it. I got to do the continuation. So I know it. And I could like that. I could be licensed and selling that crap just like him. But I hate it. And I never will do it. So he knows I know my stuff. But yet he'll just say, oh, no, no. You know, it's not safe to do that. Or you need to do this or whatever. I'm like, dude, that's not your business. Your job is to do what I tell you. Okay? So you do what I tell you. So
have you said that to him?
Yeah, I've outright told him
those words.
Yes. Yeah. I've told him this last time I increased my, well, if we have one, it's going to, I said, listen, man, I got money. It's okay. I said, really? I don't even want insurance. And the only reason I have it is because my wife wants it. So if it weren't for her, I wouldn't have you. You understand that, right? Now, I'm talking about homeowners, not auto insurance, because you have to have, legally, you're required to have liability, auto right. insurance, if you want to drive on the road. If you don't want to drive on the road, you don't have to have it. You don't have to have any insurance, period, but can't drive on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I've told him that before, and he just, oh, this last time, really, the straw that broke the camel's back was I had my oldest son, Luke,
mm-hmm.
was on the policy, and he moved out to Arizona.
Right.
And he's a big boy now. He's 24. And he got his own auto insurance through a different carrier, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm good. Now you guys can drop me or whatever. I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. So I go in and through their little website thing or whatever, like I'm putting in a request to drop him or whatever. So then calls me.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh,
you can't cancel him. I need a new client.
Did Luke move out? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, he moved out. So, and he's got a different insurance provider. So he doesn't, we just needed to drop him from the coverage or whatever. Where he moved to? I was like, okay. Well, to Tucson. He got a job out there. He moved to Tucson. Okay. What's his address? Frankly, I don't know. And I don't even know why you need that. He's like, oh, I need it to update the records or whatever. And I'm like, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I said, what if we were just estranged and he just up and left? You know, kids do that. You understand that, right? And I would have no idea. He's like, well, that would be a different process and it would be more work for me or something like that or whatever. I'm like, first of all, why would I care about that?
Would you have respected him more if he said, listen, I'm going to try to sell Luke a policy. Do you mind giving me his address?
I probably would have. That's what I told him flat out. Like, I was
because
refusing.
Because he didn't need to do anything.
I was refusing. I told him, no, you need to understand, this was like a 10-minute conversation. This was not like a 2-minute. Because he kept at it, and I said, listen.
He had already gone down that road. So
I honestly don't know what his new address is. He just moved there. I'm sure I could find out and get back to you. I'm not. Because you don't need that information. And the only reason you would really want it is so he could still listen. No, I won't do that or whatever. I'm like, but you don't need it. What I'm telling you is he's canceled and you don't need it. You know, and he just kept on and kept on. And I'm like, and I finally just told him, like, I'm not giving it to you. That's the bottom line. And I just, I remember, and he finally like cursed or something, like he was so mad. And I remember hanging up
really?
Thinking, if I ever talk to a client like he did.
He cussed
for
on
something.
The phone?
Yeah, he did. For something as insignificant as this. Lord. That would be the last day they were my client. I guarantee you their next call, the minute they hung up, they would call someone else and say, please take over my business right now. I didn't do that. But I just like kept that in the back of my mind, like, bro, it's not that easy to leave you, but I'm you're building a case and that may be it. It was so infuriating that he was just kept insisting on that I give him his address when I know he didn't need it. If a client tells me, if I ask them for information and they say, oh, I don't know. And I'd be like, okay, well, you know, it could help me if you're in there. And they're like, no, I'm not going to give that to you. And I said, okay, that's it. I'll say, okay, not a problem.
Yeah.
If it creates a big problem, I might tell you that I can't help you because without that information, I'm not even allowed to help you. But if it's not pivotal to the conversation or your financial picture, I'll see like, okay,
well,
no problem.
Well, the insurance business is sales. He is in sales.
I understand
that. So he is a salesman.
I understand that.
But again, oh, Luke moved to Tucson. Great. So it looks like you've dropped him. Do you mind if I get some information from you so I can contact him to see if there's some products I could set him up with? And then if you said no, if I'm a good salesman, I may push it a little bit more, but then you need to.
I then said.
I don't have a problem.
I said, well, what is your reasoning for needing his address? I don't understand
which
that.
You did understand, though. So you lied a little bit.
No,
I
didn't.
You do understand why he wanted
the
address.
No, this is the reason he gave it. Okay, fine. Hang on. He said that anyone in the household, even if they're not named on the policy, is covered. I don't think that's true. So he's saying, oh, people cheat us by dropping someone from the policy, even though they're still living at home, even though they're probably still going to be covered if they're in an accident, saying, oh, well, he was just living with us temporarily or whatever, but he wasn't when we dropped him from the policy or something like that. And I said, okay, so you don't trust me? Is that what you're saying? No, it's not that. Okay. So you need his address because you're going to drive to Tucson to prove that he lives there? I mean, what are you going to do with that? And how is that going to prove that he no longer lives with me? I'm telling you he doesn't live with me. I'm telling you he moved to Tucson. I'm your customer of 20 plus years. You need to trust me or lose me. And guess what? You're choosing to lose. And that's fine. So moving on. I went online here recently to Progressive. Okay.
Okay.
You know, Progressive, they have the greatest commercials. And I'm like, I want to switch to them just because their commercials are the best.
Flo's
fantastic. That whole team with Jamie, their commercials are the best. Aren't they also the Becoming Your Parents and all that stuff? Isn't that Progressive as well?
Maybe. I like those commercials.
I get him confused with Geico. Forget what Geico's just the
Geico.
It's not. That's dumb. Progressive is the best. Flo is the best. That whole team is the best. Those are the best commercials. There's no question about it. So I thought, hey, I like funny commercials, so why not? And they have like this deal where you can go in and see their rates compared to everybody else's rates, even before you're a customer or whatever the case. I was like, I like this. So I go on their website. They got fantastic tools. And guess what? I didn't talk to a single person. I was able to like dial in exactly my coverage. And every time I could see the price difference, I was able to make an educated decision. And guess what? I actually added insurance because it was still cheaper than what I was paying them for auto. So, and the homeowners would considerably less. Now, I don't know if there's some voodoo in there or whatever. I made sure the policy, I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I signed up with
you don't have to do
Progressive
like
to start tomorrow.
An escrow type thing with.
Interesting you say that because, okay,
you do have
hang
a loan.
On. Hang on.
Yeah.
So, that starts tomorrow.
Okay.
And so tomorrow then I'm going to contact and tell them your customer 26 years is leaving you because
jerk
you got
wad.
A jerk for an agent and I can't take it anymore. So I'm going to tell them that. Here's the funny part. So I recently, because we sold our old house, this was like a week ago. Yeah. And week and a half, And I went through the website to cancel my homeowner's insurance on that home. And I said, hey, because I sold the house. And they're like, okay, that's a good reason for canceling your policy. No need to insure a home that you no longer own. We're like, yeah, it does. He calls me the next day. Oh, I see that you canceled that policy. I assume you've moved into your new home. So we need to drop that builder's policy and get a new homeowner. Basically, I need to pay more for, you know, more insurance or whatever the case is. And I'm like, no, bro, I'm not talking to you ever again. It's not going to happen. He has called and texted me, and I'm not exaggerating, over the past week and a half, every day he's called or texted me. And some days it's multiple times, and he's left basically the same message. He texted me one time with four question marks. This is like what you get from a friend who's ghosting you or something. And you're like, bro, what, you know,
why don't you text
on?
Him back? Please don't contact me again.
Already blocked his number from my phone, so that's
nice.
What happened. Yeah. Can you imagine? I can't imagine me texting a client with four question marks like, hey, what's going on? Answer my question. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to deal with you. So I've totally ghosted him. It's pretty great. And he's going to find out tomorrow that he's lost all my business. And I'm like, you're never talking to me again, bro. And I don't need to explain to you. I have had in the 7 years that I've been doing this financial planning, I've only had one client just up and leave me. Like where I literally knew that client didn't like cash out or anything, like still had the same investments, just moved to a different advisor. That's only happened one time. And I don't know what I did wrong in that situation, and I tried to reach out to her after, and I never I never got her, but I never wanted to pester people that don't like talking to me. I don't want to pester them. So sure. I'm going to call them like once or text them once.
So she never
and
told you.
And if they don't respond, then I'm going to give it like 6 months or a year before I try to reach out to you again, you know, that type of thing. Nah, she never respond. Funny enough, though, she brought her dad on as a client, and he's still with me, which is kind of funny. But anyway, that's that. And that one time, and I reached out to her, and she didn't respond. And I'm like, you have your reasons. I understand. I do. It would just help me if I knew why you changed, just so maybe, you know, I could do something differently with the next person. I'm not trying to get your business back or anything. And yeah, and it hurt. It frankly hurt. It felt like somebody breaking up with me. And you went on
like a 40-minute rant here. I don't know if you realize that.
Did you have something else?
No, but I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Usually it's like three or four topics.
I get fired up and I just like, I can't not think about it. And I got to talk to someone. Usually I call you and vent to you. And just
yeah, I've heard all those stories.
But then I feel better. I mean, that's why we vent, because when you vent, it's like, I feel better. I kind of got that off my chest. And someone else sympathizes or empathizes with me, and it feels good. So, yeah.
I mean, I was kind of getting at it. Really didn't hit home. But, you know, if you see the homeless guy and he's got a sign that says, who are you kidding? I need money to go buy a beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to be more inclined to give him money?
Yeah. That's like my cop story. Yeah. That not many people heard because we pulled it down.
Well, we'll save it for the next episode.
We'll save that for the next episode. Yeah. Now, in that case, though,
You're on a roll, man.
You don't take it personally because you understand why they don't. It's not that they don't want to see you.
Well,
they don't want to see a physical therapist.
Yes, but this is where I do take it personal.
Okay.
There are some rotten apples. And there's people that
go. Do you
go,
need a hug?
There's no. There's,
okay.
There's people that will go out of their way to destroy what's around them. Like, it's not good enough to say, oh, could you have another thing? I mean, they may call and complain. And sometimes there may be mental health. I had a lady in the last 6 months. She said that I asked her to make eye contact with me. I asked her to stop watching the TV. And I asked her, she said I asked her.
Did you ask her those
when
things?
She was going to go see a psychiatrist.
Did you ask her those things?
I didn't ask any of those things.
Okay.
Sure? I'm positive. So, and then it's like emails going back and forth, and I'm just like, you know.
No,
point.
Listen.
I'm like, listen, I didn't say that.
No,
I'm not even participating. Thank
what's,
you.
What's
I'm
the
out
average
here.
Age of your clients? What's the average
age? Oh, gosh.
Age? Hit me.
Medicare age.
I understand that. So 65 plus.
Yes.
For those that don't know, that's when Medicare kicks in.
I mean, there's a few younger ones, but probably the median.
Yes. Now.
74,
but
76.
Here's the thing. People in your industry, certainly your employer, understands. I just took some continuing education courses that I was required to take. And one of them was about senior clients, specifically avoiding elder abuse, as we call it these days, because they are way, way, way more susceptible to it.
Absolutely.
because of there's issues like dementia, Alzheimer's.
You tell me there's specific laws attached to that now.
Yes, there are. Yes, sir.
And so I've seen some of that from the other side, like where you have a hired caregiver, and then all of a sudden this, I'll call it was a younger, I guess, more attractive woman working with this older man, and he had bought her a car and was
nice.
She's writing checks out of his checkbook, and the
sugar daddy.
The police got involved in that one.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
that happens. Not just that, but then people that like that woman. She could have easily been early onset. Just early Alzheimer's.
I don't think there was any early.
Well, okay. Well, she could have Alzheimer's. And part of it is, but you know just as well as I do, like with my dad, I mean, personality changes.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think people understand that. And so in my industry, I have to be on alert for that. And if I have a client who I suspect is starting to lose it cognitively, I got to start preparing myself. And typically, they'll have family members that I know that either come in with them, or I'll say, hey, you might want to talk to, you know, your son or daughter And next time we meet, let's have them.
But
if you trust them.
But, yeah, technically you cannot call the family member.
I know that. I know I can't. No, I can't. I've yet to have a client where they're the only one in the family that I have. And I've noticed problems like that. And I had to reach out to someone else, like not through them, but to go. That has not happened to me yet. Hopefully, it'll never happen. And like I said, more often than not, it's I'm gonna talk to the other family members that may or may not come with them, but I know that they trust. Like I know from the relationship of kind of what's going on, and I might say, hey, I can't meet alone with them. Maybe they can't hear me, or they don't understand me. And I'll just flat out say, like, I'll refuse to meet alone with them. And now if someone else has a power of attorney.
Yeah, you can.
Go for it. Absolutely. Give me the power of attorney. Show it to me. And I could talk to you just like if you were them without them even knowing.
In my field.
That's the power
of attorney. In my field, though.
The power of attorney.
I've ran into more than one time where the family's in denial. Have you had that yet?
No, I
like
no,
they
I
they
have
seem
not.
Offended
yeah.
because you're saying
yeah
so and so's missing some things here
and I have great clients I just do and that's part of it is the client base I took over because of Roger and just the way he vetted them and then just naturally who I've acquired
and I'm dealing with sick people
which I won't deal
urinary tract infection can cause a
if
sway
I feel like
cognition.
Someone's going to be high maintenance I'm like we're not going to do business you know I'm
gonna, I've
I'm
got an insurance guy you could call this guy
exactly right
he'll take care of you he'll call you as much as you want
he'll sell you a fantastic whole life policy it's gonna
Dude,
cover everything you need
we're at
everything
an hour
you need
I'm out of here
are you not having fun?
No, it's just late. We've been busy. You've been busy too.
No,
we got to do two episodes back to back.
We don't have to do.
We're going to. We're going to try. I'm not promising a date.
All right. Well, okay, fine. You know what? I feel better.
You do?
I feel better. Yeah, I really do.
I've heard those stories before.
No, I know you have, but I kind of was
you wanted to tell
again.
John Q. Pub.
Well,
okay, John Q. Public.
In summary,
I almost said John Q. Pubic.
Isn't John Q a movie?
Yes.
Is that the one with Denzel Washington?
Yes, it is.
And he was like...
Child was in the hospital.
Yeah, and he was going to give him his organs, and then he had to take over. It's a great movie. A lot of moral questions that movie raises.
Sure.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. Here in summary, wrapping it up. John, that's what wrap up means. No. Okay. Yeah, and this means like... this means... stretch it out.
Would you do?
I did this from John M, our pastor. I've done this when I'm in the balcony.
Shout out.
And like we're having technical problems, I'll do this, and he's like, "I don't know what that means." I'm like, "Oh my goodness!"
You're giving
stretch
me dirty,
it out.
You're giving me dirty symbols.
Okay. Now here, can I get to my summary and kind of how this not just insurance, but this ties in? I don't know. Ties in.
This means make it short.
I don't want to do that. Okay, I will. Does Jenny do that to you frequently? Come on, babe.
10.
No, don't
9.
Do that. Don't. Okay, I will wrap it up, but I refuse to wrap it up if you keep
7.
Doing that. Stop. Don't.
6.
Kenneth. All right, here's my point.
A little spicy.
That we all need to be better consumers. That we all need to know what we're paying for something. I don't have a problem with paying a lot of money for something if you know exactly what you're paying and exactly what you're getting. That makes you a better consumer.
This
and,
isn't
and
what it, your point of the podcast. I'm not going to let you do this. This
yes,
is
it
not
was.
What the point
no,
of the
no,
podcast
no,
is.
No, no, it,
you
yes.
had a jerk as an agent.
Yes, but he kept everything from me. He hid it all from me.
I don't think that wasn't the point of the story. He was a jerk to you.
Is this my summary or yours?
Well, summary.
Do you want to do a different summary?
If I'm your professor and I'm grading your paper, you had a great paper.
I'm not writing a paper.
Don't do the fifth paragraph.
I don't care.
Don't do the summary paragraph as a bunch of junk.
I don't care.
Let's summarize what you said.
I don't care.
Say what you mean and mean what you say.
I
the
do.
Summary is he's a jerk and you dropped his beep.
May I do my own summary? I'll give
Say
you
that.
One.
Say that. He was a jerk and I dropped his. Just say it.
He was a jerk and I dropped his beep.
Thank you. Don't you feel better?
No, I don't.
Now,
listen,
Let's do an addendum.
Okay, addendum is this. Like I was talking about, like Dave Ramsey talks about, when you don't know what you're paying for, you can easily be taken advantage of.
Absolutely.
And that's why when clients actually come into my office and I'll explain to them how the pay structure works or whatever, and they're like, I don't care. And I'm like, you need to care. When someone asks you, if you have a friend ask you, oh, how much do you pay your advisor? And you say, I don't know.
Right.
That is a major fail on my part. It really is. And I have got to drive home
There's
exactly what
you're
paying.
There's a lot of those people, though.
I know there are. Some of them will just tell me that. And I'm like, no. I said, listen, I get what you're saying. I'm still going to explain it to you to a point where I think you should understand it.
But you're on the flip side, you're big in trust, too, though. You say, why didn't this person trust me? Why don't they believe me?
But I'm not going to just say, oh, it's okay, trust me. I don't just say that.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
Yeah, I'm a professional. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, baby. So we all need to know what we're paying for, whether it's health care or insurance or financial products. We need to know what we're paying for. That makes us better consumers. And any system that's set up to keep that information from you is outdated. And we need to get with the times, and it'll benefit all. That's it. That's all I got to say. You want to say something now? You're rudely counting me down?
No, I think that was good.
You're a jerk.
Am I?
I don't know that I want to keep your friendship ever now.
What?
I lied.
You do.
I was told, yes, I do. It's one of my most prized possessions, Ken. I keep it here in my pocket at all times.
It's
in my wallet. I don't have a condom in my wallet. I have a little chip that says, Ken will be my friend forever. And I smile, and I kind of touch it in my pocket because it bulges.
I hide him in my pocket because he's very, very small.
Like condoms would bulge from a wallet. You know what I'm talking about? It's the same thing with a chip, and it bulges. And I just touch it, and I
smile. So you have something in your pocket that bulges.
And I touch it, and it makes me smile. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. What's the confusing about that? I don't understand.
Until next time.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this comes out better. I apologize again. Hope you get your check in the mail. And until next time.